ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यभागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भावति नैष्ठिकी यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुभेदमुपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनादिरहकातरा जुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयधयोतरवोऽभिनेदुस्तं सार्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service, Text Number 2.
Na hi asya varshmanaha pumsam varimna sarvayoginam vishruto shrutadevasya bhuri tripyanti me asavaha. Nahyasya varshmanah pumsam varimnah sarvayoginam vishruto shrutadevasya bhuri tripyanti me savaha. Nahyasya varshmanah pumsam varimnah sarvayoginam vishruto shrutadevasya bhuri tripyanti me savaha. Nahyasya varshmanah pumsam varimnah sarvayoginam vishruto shrutadevasya bhuri tripyanti me savaha. Na, not.
What shall we do?
You, maybe you should.
He, nisande, asya,
asya,
uske vishay me. Varshmanaha
Mahantam
Pumsam Manushya Mese Marimnaha Agraganya
Agraganya
Sarva Samasta
Samasta
Yogina Yogi Oka
Yogi Oka
Vishutau Sunneme
Sunneme
Kutudevasya Vedoka Swami
Swami
Puri Varamba
Varamba
Unapuna Trupyanti Trupta Hoti Hai Me Meri Asavaha Indriya
Indriya
Anuva Shonak ne kaha. You want to read?
Yes. Shonaka continued, there is no one who knows more than the Lord Himself. No one is more worshipable or more mature a yogi than he. He is therefore the master of the Vedas, and to hear about him always is the actual pleasure of the senses. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated that no one can be equal or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Vedas also. Ekobahunam yo vidadhati kaman. He is the supreme living entity and is supplying the necessities of all other living entities. Thus, all other living entities, both Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, are subordinate to the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. The same concept is confirmed here. Nahyasya varshmanah pumsam. Among the living entities, no one can surpass the supreme person because no one is richer, more famous, stronger, more beautiful, wiser, or more renounced than he. These qualifications make him the supreme Godhead, the cause of all causes. Yogis are very proud of performing wonderful feats, but no one can compare to the supreme personality of Godhead. Anyone who is associated with the Supreme Lord is accepted as a first-class yogi. Devotees may be not as powerful as the Supreme Lord, but by constant association with the Lord, they become as good as the Lord himself. Sometimes the devotees act more powerfully than the Lord. Of course, that is the Lord's concession. Also used here is the word varimnah, meaning the most worshipable of all yogis. To hear from Krishna is the real pleasure of the senses. Therefore, he is known as Govinda, for by his words, by his teaching, by his instruction, by everything connected with him, he enlivens the senses. Whatever he instructs is from the transcendental platform, and his instructions, being absolute, are non-different from him. Hearing from Krishna or his expansion or plenary expansion like Kapila is very pleasing to the senses. Bhagavad Gita can be read or heard many times, but because it gives great pleasure, the more one reads Bhagavad Gita, the more he gets the appetite to read and understand it, and each time he gets new enlightenment. That is the nature of the transcendental message. Similarly, we find the transcendental happiness in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The more we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the more we become happy. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nahyasya varshmanah pumsam varimnah sarvayoginam vishruto shrutadevasya bhuri tripyanti me savaha. Shaunaka continued, there is no one who knows more than the Lord himself. No one is more worshipable or more mature yogi than he. He is therefore the master of the Vedas, and to hear about him is always the actual pleasure of the senses. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshitarine Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajana Lambita Bujokana Kavadata Sankirtana Kipitaro Kamaya Taksha Vishwambara Vijavara Vigadharma Pagavande Jagat Priya Karo Karanavatara Yandah Pradishya Mama Vachimam Prasuktam Sanjeeva Yatakila Shakti Darak Svadam Nanyam Shasti Charana Shravanat Vagadim Pranam Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Dubhyam. Hare Krishna. So here, Shaunaka Rishi gives a very important reason why we should hear about the Lord. He says he is the greatest of all and he is the most worshipable of all yogis. It's a natural inclination of the living being to listen about somebody who is great. People like to hear about great people. This is everyone's nature. There are so many magazines, so many books which describe the activities of great people. Just yesterday I was in Delhi and I saw the big billboard. And this billboard was advertising the Fortune magazine. And the advertisement for the Fortune magazine was, behind every fortune there is a nice story. So behind every fortune there is a nice katha. So ultimately there is the nicest katha behind the greatest fortune, and the greatest fortune is the Lord himself. And also people like to hear about miracles which yogis perform. If a yogi makes a little miracle, you know, by creating little ashes, you know, people are ready to hear about it again and again and again. People are ready to hear about these miracles very much. They like these miracles. Like I recently went to a disciple of Devraha Baba, a famous yogi who was living in Vrindavan for at least 200-300 years. And his disciple was telling me about some miracles which this Devaraha Baba was doing. And I really like to hear about this. Because, you know, this is the nature of a human being, to hear about something which is great, which is unusual, which is beyond the scope of our understanding. And here Shaunaka Rishi says that I'm never satiated by hearing about you, because you are the greatest of all the yogis and the greatest of all the human beings. One of the names for Krishna is Asamurdva. From Sanskrit it means Asama Urdva. It means that there is no one who is equal to him, Asama. No one is in the same level as him, and Urdva, no one is who is greater than him. There is the greatest among all the living entities, and this is God. Sometimes people say that everyone is God. You are God, I am God, you know, no problem. We are all equal. It's a very democratic understanding about the nature of this world. Everyone is God. But Vedas very emphatically say that there is one living entity who is greater than all the living entities. Chetanas Chetananam, what is this? Nitya Nityanam, Chetanas Chetananam. It is said in Katha Upanishad, which Prabhupada quotes here, there is only one living being among many other living beings who is distinct. And what is his distinction? His distinction is that Eko Bahunam Yovidadhati Kaman. He is the one who supplies everyone with all the necessities. No one can claim that I am the one who is supplying everyone else by what they need. Sometimes people imagine that so many people are dependent on them. A husband may think that all my children and my family is dependent on me. The prime minister of a country may think that all this country is dependent on me. But in reality, you know, we are not dependent on anyone else. In reality, we are dependent on God, because He gives us everything. He gives us the light, He gives us the air, He gives us the water, He gives us everything. So, basically, this is the distinctive characteristic of God, and therefore He is the greatest. And Prabhupada also says that in Bhagavad Gita it is stated that the Lord, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavam Atah Sarvam Pravartate, the Lord Himself says that everything is coming from Me. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavam Atah Sarvam Pravartate. And then He says there is no truth. Everything is dependent on Me, and there is no truth which is greater than Myself. The Lord Himself says, Sutramani Ganaiva, He says that I am like the sutra or the thread behind everything which is there, which you see. Like here on our neck beads, there is a sutra or thread. And we don't see that sutra, but we see that everything else is dependent on this sutra, because all the beads are very nicely arranged on this thread. So the Lord is this principle on which everything else is arranged, so to speak. He is behind everything which is happening with us, behind everything which is happening with the world. He is the cause of all causes, the reason of everything which we see around us. And therefore, Shaunaka Rishi says here that therefore we should hear about Him and again and again and again. And this hearing will help us to understand Him or to come in connection with Him. Now we are very tightly connected with the body. And this is Deha Yoga. Yoga means connection. Now we are connected with Deha Yoga, with this body, and this is a very lamentable condition of the living entity. And to cut this connection with our body, this Deha Yoga, this tight, this knot which is connecting the soul with the body. We have to hear about the Lord because this will bring us in connection with Him. This method is available to us, and therefore it is considered to be the topmost yoga system. People are very much fond of yoga nowadays. You know, everyone is into yoga. But the ultimate meaning of yoga is to break the connection between the spirit and the soul, or the spirit and the body, the matter. This Sankhya philosophy, which is going to be explained by Kapila there, is exactly about this, how Purusha and Prakriti come in contact with each other and how to break this connection. Yoga is not about making this body healthy. This is just a very insignificant byproduct of yoga. Ultimate purpose of yoga is to break the connection with the body. Ultimate purpose of yoga is just to basically kill the body. Of course, nobody advertises this in a yoga classes, you know, come to us, we will help you to kill the body. But that's a very clear purpose of yoga, to break the connection between the body and the soul. However, it is a very difficult process to achieve by this means, this goal. Patanjali Muni explains how it is being achieved through the yoga. He says that you should really, you know, work on your consciousness so that the consciousness becomes very clear and becomes not a hindrance for the soul to understand itself. He says one of the reasons of the bondage between the body and the soul is that there is a constant agitation in the mind, and this constant agitation on the mind deprives the soul the facility to understand itself. The soul is like a witness of everything which is going on in the body and in the mind. And if there is a lot going on in front of us, in front of our eyes, it's very difficult for us to remember about ourselves. When people go to the cinema and watch the cinema, what is going on the screen, they forget about themselves. All their consciousness is projected in the screen, which is totally illusory. In the same way, there is a nice cinema which is going on in the screen of our mind. So many different images are constantly generated. We see this world. There is a lot of going on in the mind, which is like a cinema screen. And the soul is sitting there in the cinema hall of our mind as watching this video and very much infatuated by this video, being completely forgetful about his real nature. So Patanjali Muni says, just, you know, gradually try to stop this cinema which is going on in the screen of our mind. And this is yoga. He says, gradually you slow down the processes in your mind, make it calm and calm and calm. And ultimately, when the video is stopped, you understand, this is I am, here I am. As soon as this film is over, you know, you get up from this seat where you were sitting, and you understand, here I am, and this is my real life. Because there is nothing else to watch. You know, the film is over, the cinema is over. So in the same way, Patanjali Muni explains that when nothing is happening in our mind, we realize, here I am, I am eternal, and then he doesn't say, what then? He doesn't say what is the next step. But in reality, it's a very difficult process to stop this mind from constantly creating certain images. In the first sutra of Yoga Sutra, Patanjali Muni says, Chitta Vritti Niroda, this is yoga. Yoga is Chitta Vritti Niroda. Yoga means stop the mind from working. Sometimes people say that yoga means connection, and it's a fact. Yoga from Sanskrit means connection. But in understanding of Patanjali Muni, yoga means disconnection. From Sanskrit point of view, the word yoga not only means connection, it also means the method, the means to the goal. And in the understanding of Patanjali Muni, yoga is the means to break this connection, to break the connection between the mind and the soul. But in reality, it's very difficult. Who will become self-realized by this yoga process? Nobody. Maybe very rare souls who really try to achieve this particular goal of yoga will achieve this after many, many years of severe practice and austerities. But Srila Prabhupada emphatically says again and again that the topmost yoga system is bhakti yoga, because it's a very easy method to achieve the same goal without so much problems. The connection between the mind and the soul through bhakti yoga process, the disconnection between the mind of the soul, or the connection between the mind and the soul through bhakti yoga process, is being broken in a very simple way, because you are getting connected with the Lord. The nature of the soul, and this is what will be stated by Kapiladev himself very soon, the nature of the soul is to be attached. Being minute particle of the spirit, we have to be attached to something. We cannot be independent. We cannot exist in a vacuum without any attachments. So at the present state, we're attached to the mind, we're attached to our body, we're attached to the family, to different people which are here around us. We're very much attaching to this. We're clinging to this, because this is the nature of the soul, to cling to something. But the method of bhakti yoga is not to break this attachment, is not to cut these attachments, but to attach oneself to the Lord and all other unwanted attachments, undesirable attachments, unhealthy or unholy attachments will be cut automatically. And this attachment to the Lord, to the Spirit, is done through hearing. Because the hearing is a special process which can bring us immediately in contact with the Lord, and no other senses can do this. With our eyes, we cannot see the Lord. And even when we see the image of the Lord, the deity of the Lord, we don't really understand that this is the Lord himself. Because of the dullness of our consciousness, and because we only used to associate or to interact with the matter. According to the Vedas, there is only one direct method to come in contact directly with the spirit. This is through hearing, through the sound vibration. The sound is the most subtle of all the elements which are there. And it's more than any other, so to speak, material elements, is capable of carrying the message, the transcendental message, or the spiritual message, the spiritual energy. And when we hear about the Lord, we train all other senses also to recognize the Lord. Like in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Shrutekshita Patha, that in reality we can see the Lord, but we can see the Lord through the ears. Shruta Ikshita Patha. In order to see the Lord, we have to hear about the Lord. Because by hearing, we will recognize His presence anywhere. And Prabhupada explains it here that, you know, by hearing about the Lord, we are training all other senses in this yoga, in the connection with the Lord. And he says that there is a very vivid proof that by hearing about the Lord, we come in contact with Him, and the proof is that our senses are not tired by hearing about Him. I remember when I first was told that I should chant Hare Krishna mantra every day. Then the devotee told me that you should chant it many times, 16 rounds or whatever. So, and I was very new, I didn't know anything, I didn't read any book of Srila Prabhupada. He just told me, just chant this. Without any explanation, why should I do this? And of course, he told me that I will get some mystic powers or something like this. I don't remember exactly how he caught me into this. Anyway, I said to myself at this moment that I will stop doing this strange thing the moment I will get tired. I'm not going to do it too long. So 30 years later, I'm still doing it. And, you know, when somebody 30 years back would tell me that I will chant this Hare Krishna mantra, you know, many, many hours every day, I would never believe it, because, you know, it's just unheard of. I would not do anything longer than 2 days, you know. And Prabhupada says that, you know, whenever you read Bhagavad Gita, you find the new meaning in Bhagavad Gita. So many people read Bhagavad Gita, so many people explained Bhagavad Gita, and still some new things is coming out. Recently I spoke with Bhaktivikash Maharaj, and I asked Bhaktivikash Maharaj, he is a famous writer in our society, he wrote so many books, and I asked Bhaktivikash Maharaj, what is your next project, what you are going to write about? And he said to me, I'm planning to write commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. says, because I read and I get some new things, and you know, which I never heard, but I, you know, it's amazing things, amazing realization, which is there from the Bhagavad Gita. And people read Srimad Bhagavatam again and again and again, and people read Ramayana again and again and again, and people watch movie of Mahabharata and Ramayana again and again and again, and they never tired. Because there is always something new, Navanavarasa. It's also explained by Yamuna Acharya when he says that Navanavarasana Dhamani Udnyatam Randuma Siddh. He said, as soon as from this moment when my mind came in contact with this newer and newer experience of your presence through the hearing about you, I lost complete interest towards this world and toward the pleasures of this world. And also in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Test Canto, Maharaja Parikshit, who has been fasting, who has not been sleeping and eating or drinking for many, many days by the 10th canto. In the beginning of 10th canto, he says that, you know, please continue speaking about the Lord because that gives the immense pleasure to my senses. Nivriti tarshaya rupagiya manat bhavosha dachrotra ratir biramat kautama shloka gunanu vadat puman virajeta vina pashugna. He says, who besides the butcher will stop hearing about uttama shloka if this message is coming through the pure source? Because this message is shrotra ratir abhiramat, because this message is pleasing, very pleasing to the senses, and it's also bhava oshada, it's the medicine from the disease of material existence. So besides being pleasing to the hear, to the ears and other senses, this message is curing our soul, curing our intelligence, curing our whole existence. This is the best medicine from the disease of material existence, and this statement is there in Srimad Bhagavatam again and again and again, that if you want to get rid of the disease, hridroga, the disease of lust in the heart, there is only one medicine for this, is to hear about the Lord with faith and devotion. And that's why we hear every day Srimad Bhagavatam, and even though we are never satiated by hearing, but sometimes we have to eat also. We are not on the level of Maharaja Parikshit, who would not eat and drink and sleep, but just hear about Krishna. So I finish now. Thank you very much.
When will we reach the position of Maharaja Parikshit, where he could hear the katha without hearing, without sleeping, without eating? Can we reach such position?
Yeah, we can. He himself says, Nivrita tarshaya rupagiya manat. He himself explains, when this Trishna, or the thirst for material world, will be somewhat subsided by the process of yoga, of bhakti yoga, then we will hear about Krishna like Maharaja Parikshit. The same is stated by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction in Upadishamrita, where he says that kintvadarat anudinam kalusaiva jushta, if every day anudina, kintvadarat, with a lot of reverence and very reverently and very attentively we hear the holy name, then, this disease will be uprooted from our heart, mulahantri. So he says, if every day we hear about this, then gradually the taste for material world will subside and the taste for the Lord will increase. And these two conditions are very important, adarat and anudinam. Every day, very regularly, in a very regulated manner, and adarat, without committing offenses. Adarat means that we should try to avoid all the offenses which are there in our heart, because we have offensive nature. So adarat, with reverence. Yeah, the problem is that we commit offenses on the way, and these offenses will you know, they reawaken the taste within our heart, the material taste within our heart, and slow the process of awakening the spiritual taste. But as soon as we understand how important it is to get rid of the disease of material existence, then this attention will come, and when the attention will come, we will achieve this level. Recently, one lady devotee passed away. She had a cancer, and for 10 days before cancer, she was not eating, she was not drinking, she was only hearing about Krishna. Because she understood that this is the most important thing which I have to do now. We don't understand this, therefore we commit offenses. Okay, I think that's it.
Srila Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhup